Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
There's a place I have found in the shade on the ground, far from all worries and troubling sound. When I go there to be by myself, only me. No one can guess what I came there to see. There's a sun in the sky, there's a cloud drifting by. All kinds of birds make you wish you could fly. And in the distance I see someone waving at me. I hope that it's you, but who else could it be?
Hey everybody, welcome Monday morning, Memorial Day 2023. Glad you guys can join us. Those who are popping in the chat already, those who are listening on podcast later today, once it's uploaded, appreciate you joining us. Happy Memorial Day weekend. Hope everybody's having a great one. It's been a good one here. I mean, people, the boats are all over the lake here, and it's beautiful out. We've actually got the kayaks loaded up, strapped down on the trailer, loaded up all of them. It is a full trailer of kayaks out there. Later on, after the show, I'm gonna go out and do some paddling. We're going to go hit one of the area rivers, and that should be fun. It's a beautiful day here. It's a little cloudy right now. It rained last night, just a little bit, but looking forward to it, getting some fresh air. Around here, if you're a kayaker, you don't go out on the lakes on Memorial Day weekend. There's too many boats, too many drunk jet skiers. You're going to get ran over, man. We go kayak the rivers on these busy weekends. But yeah, no, I thought, you know, at first I thought, well, it's Memorial Day weekend. Are we going to do a show or not? Didn't know if there'd be a lot of people around. Kind of thought about maybe not doing one this weekend. But then the more I thought about it, you know, I had some things I wanted to mention. And I've invited a couple of friends to pop on and share some memories too of friends or family that they're missing today or remembering. But first I wanted to just touch bases. I posted something, and I don't want anybody to mistake this as me griping about something. I'm not. I'm so appreciative as a veteran when people come up and say thank you for your service. I can tell you that even on the worst days of when I was in the Army, I still look back on those memories and am grateful that I served, and I'm glad that I did. But I understand, as a veteran who spent a lot of time at the VA volunteering and talking to other veterans, that this is a tough day for some people, because on Veterans Day in the fall, that's kind of our day as veterans. You know, you got the parades going on. People are coming up saying, hey, you know, thanks for serving. But today, we still get a lot of people that come up to that know you're a veteran or identify that people are veterans, and they thank them for their service. And sometimes in my experience, that can be kind of hard for some veterans. And it's something that maybe we don't realize when we do that. I'm not saying don't do it. I think you should thank a veteran for the service any chance you get. But today, especially on Memorial Day, as a veteran, any veteran who served in combat, whether it was in Korea, Vietnam, you know, Kuwait, Iraq, Afghanistan, they know somebody who is in one of their squads or in their platoon that probably didn't make it back. And on Memorial Day, to me, this day is that person's day. And, you know, I had posted something on my Facebook that said, as veterans, we all made sacrifices, but today, as you wish veterans thank you for their service, remember that many of them are coping with the thoughts and memories of brothers and sisters in arms who they were close to that didn't make it back home. You know, when you join the military, those in your squad and your platoon become more than your co-workers, so to speak. When you go into basic training, the Army takes, for me, I mean, depending on your branch, but for me, the Army, I mean, I left my hometown. I left my friends. I left my family. My whole support system, none of it went with me. I was put in a platoon of 30 people, and they were all strangers on day one. But over time, and I mean a short period of time, those strangers become your brothers and sisters, and they replace that entire support system. You don't just trust each other or count on each other to defend your character or your reputation or your work ethic. You're depending on them to defend your life. And you're committing to them the same. And when you lose one of them, it's an experience that you'll carry for your whole life. I want to say to all my fellow veterans out there, just hang in there. Let's honor these brothers and sisters that we lost and continue to live our lives, never forgetting what they sacrificed. Many of us gave our country our own time and our skin, blood, and tears, but some of those who were with us gave an awful lot more. And this is their day. And I love remembering them on this day. I served with one of my best friends when I was in the military. It was Specialist Shinaki. And he didn't make it back. And I'll never forget him. I'll never forget him. He was such an influence on my life. But I can't imagine what it would be like for his parents or his siblings and friends on a Memorial Day right now. I would imagine it's pretty hard. So with that said, I'm going to put the link out here. Something I normally don't do here on Untold Radio Network. I do it on my Chillstream chats now and then on Pine Island Research. But here on Untold, I don't do this often, but we're going to put the link out in case anybody would like to pop on and share somebody that they're remembering today. So I'm going to bring up a friend of mine and also a co-veteran. Hey, Joe, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Appreciate you popping on. And
I guess.
I will thank you for your service, because I know you had served, was it the Navy, right?
Yeah.
On a submarine.
On a submarine. Yeah. I'm a bubblehead. And yeah, I agree with you on, well, that's the wrong word, but I get where you're coming from with the thanking for the service thing. And I'm not saying that people shouldn't do it either. I know people want to do that. They want to show their appreciation to vets, but I'm always uncomfortable when people say that to me. But it's only because, it's like, I appreciate it. But you don't have to thank me, because, it was my choice, to volunteer.
Yeah.
And, so that's that. And you're right about that. People think about Veterans Day, and I think they reach out to the only ones they can thank, right? Because Memorial Day is for the people, our brothers and sisters in arms that made the ultimate sacrifice, right? Yep. I didn't really deal. The thing that I sacrificed was like 9 years of my life, and there's people out there that sacrificed a hell of a lot more than I did. They made the ultimate sacrifice, and that's what this day is about. Yeah. Is those people that made the ultimate sacrifice, like, my brother. I think about him. Damn it, Jeff.
Listen,
now I'm going to get teary-eyed too.
I'm telling you right now, when I put this invite out to come on, there's no rule that you aren't going to get teared up, because this is this is the day where we're allowed to do that, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how tough you are, you're allowed to do that.
But yeah, my brother Jay, he was, he wasn't killed in action or anything, but he was active duty, and it was back in 1989, and he was run off the road by a drunk driver when he was riding his motorcycle, and pretty much killed him instantly. But I think about him on these days, he was a first class petty officer, in the Navy. And,
was he younger than you or?
No, he's my older brother. Yeah. I'm the youngest. He was my older brother. And, so I think about him a lot, this time of year, especially on Memorial Day. So, Hell of a big man he was too. I'm the smallest one in my whole damn family, I think. When it comes to the boys, they were all over 6 foot tall. Me, I'm 5'10". But
yeah,
he's a big guy.
Got to be the runt of the litter, Joe. Might as well be one of them.
That was me. Yeah, and they called him Bear. That was his nickname. Was Bear. Big red beard. And he was a hell of a guy, man. I looked up to him a lot when I was a kid. And he unfortunately, being the closest to age to me, he was 7 years older than I was. So when he was growing up with me and before he joined the service, it was always, he was leaving the house, take your little brother with you. And he hated that shit, man. He hated that shit, but.
Gotta bring the little guy with.
Yeah. Well, all my brothers served in the military. My brother Stan, who lives out in Oregon now, he served in the military, in the Navy. My brother Robert, who passed away a couple of years ago now from cancer, he was also in the Navy. So.
Well, again, everybody, I put the link in chat if anybody wants to pop on and join me and Joe and tell us who you are especially remembering today. Otherwise, you can type it in chat. Let us know, too. But I got a question for you, a little trivia question. And you may know the answer to this. We'll see if you don't, we'll wait and see if anybody in chat does. But do you know what the original name for Memorial Day was? It was wrote about by blues guitarist and artist John Lee Hooker. He wrote a song for his wife by this title. And I didn't realize it. I'd heard the song and was wondering what they were talking about and looked it up and realized that's what Memorial Day was called originally.
Huh.
But it wasn't always called Memorial Day.
Yeah, I could not tell you, man. I'll tell you the truth. I probably heard it. I just
see if anybody in chat puts it up. But oh yeah, Nikki got it. Decoration Day.
Decoration Day, huh?
Yeah. It's an awesome song by John Lee Hooker too. He talks about how much he loves his late wife and how he goes to her graveside on Decoration Day. But yeah, but so what, you got anything planned for Memorial Day? You gonna fire up the grill or anything?
Yeah, probably not. Probably just gonna hang out, you know, and just chill today because I don't have. Oh, there it is. I just wanted to. I just wanted to see if you could pull this up.
Yeah.
And
yeah, if anybody's got a picture they'd like to share of somebody they're missing too, pop on, because we can do on StreamYard if you're capable. You can click the share button and I can forward that to put the picture up then. So
hang on a second. Let me, there we go. Now I got to do this and then present share screen. There we go. That was my brother Jay. That was when he was a second-class petty officer when that photo was taken.
Nice.
But that was him, man. I mean, you can see the resemblance pretty well between the two of us.
I think you can. I was just going to say that.
Yeah, you could tell that
we're brothers. If his beard was a little longer and grayer, I'd see it right now, right?
Yeah. But that was Petty Officer Snyder, man. Second-class Petty Officer Snyder. That was my brother.
Cool.
Yep.
That is cool. Just going to put this link up again if anybody wants to click it. So, yeah, you know, I can remember when I was just talking about Specialist Shinaki. He's one of my best friends when we served. And what was really interesting was before we were deployed, he was the colonel's driver in our battalion. And colonels or higher ranking officers, they have designated drivers that's their job. They drive them around all day long to lunch, to meetings. And they're kind of, these drivers are like their show ponies. They will put them through any training they can just to get more tabs and ribbons and all that stuff. And as a Spec 4, he'd only been in about not quite 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
He had been through airborne school, air assault school. He'd gone through all of this training to where he was just tabbed. I mean, when you looked at him, you're like, dude, how long have you been in? As soon as he'd get back from one train, the colonel would send him to the next. And it was just funny because once you started realizing how that works, whenever you'd see somebody that's been through all these different training and had all these different tabs, you'd ask them, who do you drive for? Because they just treated them like they're little show ponies. But
Those
higher ranking officers could pull the strings to get you into any training they wanted to, pretty much. But
Well, you know, I mean, and you know, when it comes to that, I mean, you gotta appreciate that that's probably gotta be some pretty cushy and good duty, actually, you know.
Yeah, you know, for what he did. I mean, it's usually something you do for a year and then they let you go and let you go on and do something else. And that's how that's what happened there.
But,
yeah. You know, it's funny because when I think back of my time in service, I never actually would have been involved in Desert Storm had I not volunteered to do something. When I originally went in, I went in as a weapons specialist, and I was stationed. My first duty station was Fort Benning, Georgia, where the airborne school is. And we worked on the Malone complex of ranges. There's a bunch of firing ranges out there in the woods. And basic training platoons, anybody who's infantry in the Army goes to basic training at Fort Benning.
Yeah.
And eventually you'd end up on my range and we'd do weapons training and you'd go out and qualify and there's different ranges. Some of them were night fire ranges. Some of them were, you know, everything was a little bit an M60 range, things like that. And it was a slow training cycle. There just weren't that many basic training companies coming out to our platoons at the time. And my captain said, if anybody who works here on our range wants to go through airborne school, it's right here on base. I'll pull the strings and get you into it. It's only 3 weeks. And I said, sure. And I went through airborne school. And when I got back to the range, they reclassified my MOS to EOD specialist because, and I had to go through some training, bunch of training for that. Cause every ranger is supposed to have an EOD specialist who could get rid of anything, you know, for instance, if you're on the range where every basic training throws two live hand grenades and one of them doesn't go off, well, what do you do now? You know, so there had to be somebody like that on each range. And eventually I got out of the Army a couple of years, got out, and I was working at a bar, Joe. I was sleeping until noon every day, and I'd go in and work at the bar. It was opening bartender. And I was there for a couple months, and these two Army officers walk in their Class A's and walk right up to the bar and say, are you Jeff Harding? And I said, yeah. And they slid me an envelope, said, you have some orders here. And I was like, what? And I opened them up, and it said that I had 48 hours to report to Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And I said, what is going on here? And he said, there are a couple different companies of the 82nd Airborne that are going to Kuwait. And it was right at the beginning of Desert Storm. And he said they want to bring their own EOD specialists. And so they looked to see, you know, first of all, and almost anybody in the 82nd Airborne is either an infantryman, an engineer, or a medic, right?
So you were on reserve duty when they came to you.
I was in active reserve duty. I wasn't even going 1 week in a month. I was like, just like, I'm done with
Well, yeah, but right? still, the key word there is act.
For 8 years, they have reserve. The ability to bring you back if they need.
Yeah, the key word is reserve. Doesn't matter whether it's inactive or active, it's reserved.
Your government property for an enlistment period of 8 years. Doesn't matter if you're going for 3 years, 2 years, 4 years. When you're done with that original one, if you don't re-up, they can still pull you back for up to 8 years.
Yep.
So he said, you know, the Army, we started looking at how many airborne EOD techs are there. And he says there were two. And then we looked at, well, are there any that just got out recently? And that was you. And so you're going back in. And I was like, are you kidding me? I mean, and so they brought me down there to the 82nd and had to get reissued my uniforms and everything all over again. And my buddy from Fort Benning was there, Specialist Shinaki. And I was like, dude, it's like seeing your best friend again after months, you know. Yeah. Didn't think I'd ever see him again, really. And, but yeah, we were really close. And he was killed in an IED accident in inside of the kill box during Desert Storm. But, and it's something that we, you know, you completely don't see. We, you know, I mean, I certainly didn't see that coming, you know. Mm-hmm. During Desert Storm, the U.S. lost 298 service persons in combat. But yet you don't really think of it as combat, right? Because you had all these Republican Guard members who surrendered, basically, and were supposed to go back to Iraq and leave Kuwait. They didn't want to because they had failed. And they knew what Saddam did to failures. Mm-hmm. And so they were they wouldn't leave. And they kind of, they didn't want to fight us, but they didn't want to go home and end up losing their lives either. So we had to force them to leave. And then that ended up, a lot of people ended up losing their lives as part of our, from the U.S.'s contribution to that, based on IEDs and things that were left behind on this trail. You know, it was almost like a trail of tears that was thrown into from Kuwait to Iraq. It was just one area that was 17 miles wide. It was called the kill box, where they had to, we forced them to go back. Mm-hmm. So, but,
yeah. Yeah, speaking of the Army, I would, you know, that's another one I'd like to remember on today is my buddy who passed away last year from cancer, my buddy David Barnett. He was also in the Army. He got stationed in Germany for a while, and so I like to remember him on Memorial Day, too, because he was an Army vet. I would have been in the Army instead of the Navy because that's what my dad was in. My dad was in the Army. He was a staff sergeant during WW2. And he was in the Army for a while. And I, my brothers, all my brothers had joined the Navy. And I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to make my dad proud of me, something that was extremely hard to do. And I thought, I'm going to join the Army. And I got lied to.
Yeah. I think and, everybody felt that way because when I got
my first, I didn't even get to see the Army recruiter and the Navy recruiter who was trying to recruit people for Navy said, no, no, no. He's like, you can't get into the Marines. You can't get in the Army or Air Force without a high school diploma. And I was 17 years old and didn't have a high school diploma at the time. He said, you can't, because I was quitting school and I wanted to join the military and I wanted the Army. And he told me, nope, can't get in the Army without a high school diploma. And that's so I ended up joining the Navy, had my parents sign for me and all that stuff, of course. Mm-hmm. And then find out later on when I saw an Army recruiter, he said, dude, that guy lied to you. The Army would have taken you.
Yeah, probably.
All you would have had to do is the same thing you did with the Navy.
ASVAB test and your score is what your score is. I mean,
He told me, he said, he said it would have been the same way. Is the arm the Navy? We, you know, you would have just had to have your parents sign for you, you know. And I went, son of a bitch.
I can't, but you know, when I think about that though, it's funny because those who are listening on podcasts or watching in chat probably who have served can say the same thing about their recruiter. I think there's a reason why they recruiters only have a 1 or 2 year duration that they're at that post recruiting for their move, because eventually all those people they put in the military are going to get back and come home and go, "You lying son of a..."
You lied to me, man. But I mean, I don't regret it any. I mean, yeah, it would have been cool if I'd have been able to join the Army and been the only one that followed my dad's footsteps. But I don't regret being in subservice. That was something that was kind of cool.
Yeah. No, and I don't want everybody to think we're, you know, militarizing the stream this morning. I certainly understand that Memorial Day is more than just veterans. I mean, that tends to be what a lot of people get a little bit focused on. But, you know, listen, we've got I go and today, later on today, when we're done kind.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we'll be going over to my dad's gravesite and leaving flowers. And that, I can tell you, that cemetery is going to be full of people, and probably a lot less than more of them are veterans. I mean, the majority of people that are getting flowers today and people being remembered are not veterans. And because it's a holiday where we remember everybody who's passed before us, who was a part of our lives. So
yeah.
I'm going to bring Jay in. I see Jay backstage. Hey, Jay.
Hey, Jay.
What do you say, fellas?
For those who are new to the show or listening on podcast, this is Jay Fritz, a friend of mine and Joe's. Jay was also a veteran, weren't you?
Yes, sir.
What branch did you serve in?
If I told you, I'd have to kill you.
But
no, I was on 101st.
Yeah, the Screaming Eagles.
Screaming Eagles, yes.
101st Airborne?
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
it
man.
It was the Airborne then. Now it's the Air Assault.
Air Assault.
Back then, the 82nd and the 101st First, were both airborne.
They were both airborne, yeah.
And then the 101st changed to Air Assault, which is helicopter deployed. Mm-hmm. And they kind of went through a re-identity, although all the unit badging, that Screaming Eagle, everything's exactly the same.
Everything's the same. All patches are the same.
Yeah. So how's your Memorial Day, Jay?
I'm cooking.
Anybody in particular that's on your mind today on Memorial Day?
Several. I lost some good friends in Vietnam. I sure did. Yeah.
My brother. Oh, go ahead, Jay. I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to comment on what you just said. Yeah, my brothers, all three of them, they caught the tail end of it, but they were joined just in time to be in Vietnam too. Yeah.
I was very lucky. I never had to go there. I spent my whole time in the States. Yep. Very lucky. I feel very fortunate, you know.
Yeah, I had a very, very close uncle that I was very close to. My dad had 5 siblings, and this kind of, my dad passed away here just a couple of years ago. But what was interesting is, like, the week after he passed away, one of his sisters passed away, and then shortly after that, one of his brothers passed away. And the other day, out of all 6 of those kids, there's only one left alive. And I saw her. It was my Aunt Elaine. And I was talking to her, and in the conversation somehow it came up. I said, man, that's just crazy how you're the last one. And I could see on her face that that's something that she thinks about a lot. Out of, you know, she had 5 brothers and sisters, and she's the last one there. That's got to be really difficult. But my uncle was in Vietnam, and I was really close to him. He had a little round coin he wore around his neck, and it looked like a washer because it had a hole in the middle of it. It was a Vietnamese coin. That's how it was designed. And so he wore it around his neck. And I asked him about it one day. And he said, Jeff, he says, I'm going to tell you the story, but he says, this isn't easy for me to talk about. And I was young. I was like in junior high. And he told me how his squad, they were walking through the jungle, and he saw this coin on the ground, and he bent over to pick it up. And at that moment, the second or third person in line in his squad stepped on a landmine. I guess they're referred to as bouncing Betties. They jump up about 3 feet in the air and then explode straight across.
Yep.
And killed his entire squad except for him, because at that very moment he was bending over to pick up that coin. Mm-hmm. And he wore it around his neck. But he said, you know, and he didn't go in to tell me a lot of the details, just the general scenario of that story. But it wasn't until I was in the military and I started thinking about that, how hard that would have been in that environment, that jungle type environment, to be with a squad of 7 to 9 people. And just like that, they're all dead except for you. I can't even imagine what that was like for him to go through that. But
my brother was in a squad all survived. They got attacked, and it was just 4 of him and 3 others survived. So that's tough, you know. That's you know what? A lot of people don't realize there's a lot of these soldiers come home and go through their whole life never talking about this stuff again, you know.
Yeah.
The memories they carry. Luckily, I didn't have to. I didn't go through none of that. And I've several times I've thought back in my life. I said, "Man, it just didn't seem fair. Why wasn't I ever deployed? You know, it just don't seem right sometimes. That it kind of eats away at me a little bit, you know. Because baseball, you know, and 3 of my senior year, 3 of my players in my the starting 9 on my high school baseball team, we won the state championship, and 3 of them were dead within 2 years after I graduated.
Yeah,
you know, because they had to go over there. 3 of them, 3 out of the 9 in my high school. You know,
I was thinking about that this morning when I was thinking about the show and what the things we'd probably talk about. And, you know, they called our World War II vets are greatest generation. And I started thinking about how many people served in that and how that was really more of an accepted role amongst young men, that when I turn 18, I'm going to go serve. I mean, it was like the sense of duty and that patriotism that came with that. It wasn't, I almost feel like the military right now, when we look at, I mean, the U.S. is the greatest country in the world, first of all. And, you know, we do so much when it comes to serving and trying to help others. You look at Korea, for example. I mean, you've got millions and millions of people in South Korea that would not have their country if it weren't for us going and serving there. And but when I look at those different campaigns, and then you got Vietnam, and then you start moving into these new ones, I can remember on 9/11 how this country felt. And for, you know, for a while, for that following year, it was like this injustice had been done on our soil to us. And right. I think that was just a small taste of what it was like in World War II for these people. That feeling of, what can I do? You know, what can I do to make a difference? And so many people were just serving, you know, they weren't doing it so they had college money or because their dad did. And so now I am, you know, like it's a legacy. I mean, they did it because they wanted to make an impact on the betterment of this country, you know?
Right.
And, but yeah, I think that there is, you hit on something there. There's a lot of people who come back from being deployed who don't talk about it. And this is about 5-6 years ago. I had been bit in the foot by a black widow or a Western black widow spider. While I was out in the middle of nowhere for about a week hunting, guiding a trip, and ended up, it got infected so bad it got into the bone that I thought I was going to lose my foot. I was flown out, was at a VA hospital, and luckily they had somebody there at the VA hospital who had experience with snake bites, spider bites, you know, things like that. And I was there for 11 days while they did surgery on my foot. And I decided that I didn't want to make this about me by posting on Facebook. There's another picture of me in the hospital today, right? I'm in the VA hospital. There are so many guys there that didn't seem to have family or a support system, right? I mean, a lot of them were just in their room alone.
Right.
And so every day, and you can go back, for those who follow me on Facebook, if you go back far enough, I'll probably repost some of those today. But every day I met somebody who had served, and most of them were older than me. And I would go sit down in the room and just introduce myself, told them I was in the Army and served in Desert Storm. And I'd sit down and listen to them. And I mean, for hours I would sit there and listen to them tell a story. I had one guy who was a Vietnam veteran who was telling me about how he worked on a gunboat, and they were on this gunboat every night. They'd go out, they'd leave about a half an hour before sunset, and they wouldn't come back till the light came up, all night long patrolling these rivers, looking for an enemy that you can't even see the shoreline, right? And they're just a moving target, basically.
Yep.
But he told me about all these stories about the crazy things that happened, and I sat there, and I'll tell you what, Jay, you couldn't watch a movie that would be as interesting as listening to this guy tell me about this.
I know it. I know that.
And you know what? I asked him, because I was fortunate that one of my business partners, who's fairly wealthy, had given me 50 $100 gift cards for Amazon and said, I want you to give these out while you're there. Find people who need some sweatpants or some socks, things like that, and just get online and order the stuff, have it shipped to them right there. And so he blessed me with that opportunity to be able to give that to these people. And I sat down, and after hearing this guy for hours, I said, you know, I've got a gift card that I want to give to you, and I've got my laptop here. What can we get you? What do you need? Do you need shoes? Do you need, you know? And he looked at me and said, in a week, I'm going to have another heart surgery. And he says, I don't know if I'm going to make it. And he says, quite honestly, even if I don't, my kids, I got two kids. They don't talk to me anymore. And I mean, he made me realize that me giving him my time that day, listening to him, nobody else was going to do that. He had nobody else that would sit down and say, I'm interested in you. Tell me about what you've experienced. And he said, you've already given me the greatest gift. You sat here and listened.
That is so true. I don't have to tell you. Sometimes that's all it takes to uplift somebody, is just give them 5 minutes of your time. Just listen to them. Let them talk. No.
Yeah, I use that experience, and that's the one thing that kept me coming back to the VA. I keep going back there to volunteer, and my volunteer, I've got it set up with them where I've got a good enough relationship now that I can just go up to a certain floor where the long-term patients are. All the nurses and the doctors there know who I am, and I'll walk in, and they're like, hey, Jeff, how you doing today? And I'm like, who's new? You know, who doesn't have anybody? I don't ask them to violate HIPAA. I don't want them to tell me names or why they're there or anything like that. Just give me a room number of somebody who doesn't have people visiting them. And they'll write it down, hand me a sheet of paper that has three or four room numbers on it. And I'll go around and just go into these places, introduce myself, sit down and listen to them. And just be a friend, just visit with them. They're so excited to have somebody just sitting there visiting with them.
Yes, sir. That's very admirable.
And people should really consider doing that, volunteering at VA hospitals, because there's so many different components that you can get involved in volunteering. But I'll tell you what, you know, I remember one day it was nice out. I went and sat out on a bench out in front of the hospital. And I'd just sit there, and about every 15, 20, 30 minutes, somebody'd walk out with an IV bag rolling next to them or in a wheelchair. They're allowed to get out of the room and get some fresh air. And I'd just walk up to them and say, hey, my name's Jeff. How are you doing today? And start talking to them. I didn't even have to go in the hospital to do that. So, I mean, these opportunities are there to go talk to these veterans and be a set of ears for them. But I want to bring Nikki in from Hairy Man Hoaxes and Hoodwinks. Nikki, how are you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. I wanted to say happy anniversary. I heard it was your and your husband's anniversary. Was it yesterday?
Saturday.
What? Yeah. How many years?
23.
I have an anniversary tomorrow, and it will be 25 years.
Awesome.
But technically, the math doesn't add up, because we did split up for a year and got back together. And so technically, we have to go an extra year for it to really be officially 25 years. But
yeah.
We'll probably go out to eat or do something. But yeah, it looked like you guys, I saw your pictures on Facebook. Looked like you guys went out and enjoyed the evening. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. In this time, in this age, it's quite a thing, you know, to hold on to a marriage.
Yeah.
Long, so.
It is. You know, good. My experience was, and this was, not to get too involved in it, but my wife was suffering depression for a long time. Didn't want to get treatment, didn't want to talk to people about it. And it became a communication thing. I mean, our marriage was never really invaded by gambling or abuse or drug addiction, anything like that. It just was, how do you communicate with somebody year after year after year that's dealing with depression that didn't want to get treated for it? And that was hard. But when I hear people now, I use that. We both use that. Me and her both use this. We talk to people. When people say, well, I'm thinking about getting divorced, I'm like, what happened? You know, what happened? Because if somebody's beating on you, you probably do need to get divorced. If there's addiction issues that you're on your third, fourth round, yeah, you probably do need to get divorced. But when we're talking about we just don't communicate or we fell out of love, God, you know, part of me, Nikki, says that's still the guy that you met when from day one, and that's still the girl that he met from day one.
Right.
And communication, man, sometimes it's just that we can fix that. Don't give up on this, right? Mm-hmm. But I think culture has taught us that when the going gets tough, the toughness don't get going sometimes.
They anymore. Leave. Yeah. No, you know, you hear a lot of people say, oh, you know, it's a 50-50. It's not. Marriage is not a 50-50 thing. It's 100 and 100.
Okay? Yeah. There's days where you're going to have to carry all the weight. Yes. And there's days where your spouse is going to be carrying all the weight. Because exactly. Nobody's capable of doing it every day.
Right. Everybody has moments, highs and lows. You know, that's why they call it the roller coaster of life.
Yeah.
But one of you has got to be willing to hang on. And coming, talking about the whole memorial thing and losing people and being married to a military man and knowing that I almost lost him and knowing that, you know, we lost his dad and my dad, you know, he was in the military 32 years. My husband was 26 years in service. So we lost a lot of people during that time. But the one thing is that it's hard on is the spouses who get left behind, who deal with that kind of stuff. And when he came back from Iraq, he was a different man. A different man, you know, to sleep next to. I couldn't touch him in the middle of the night because he would want, you know, think somebody was there and buck up.
There's so many little changes. And sometimes veterans really aren't aware of those changes or how it's affecting other people, right? You think, oh,
sure,
I'm just going to bury it and not deal with it. And they don't realize how it still rolls on to other people. I can, to this day, if the three of us walked into a cafe for a cup of coffee, I can't sit with my back to the front door anymore.
My husband's
for decades, it's been like that since I got out of the military. I don't know if it's a trust issue or a control issue or just feeling like it's not just serving, but I think once you've served in combat, you start realizing stupid decisions can have really huge consequences. And so you start being overly analytical about things, or you start taking precautions that don't even make sense to other people. Like, why would you worry about that? It's like, so yeah, sitting where I can see the front doorway, like if some fanatic comes in the front door shooting the place up, I'm still not sure that I'm going to be able to do anything about it, but I guess I want to be the first one aware of it. I don't know.
But
I hear you. What branch did your husband serve in?
Army. Yeah. He was a 31 Bravo for 26 years, the full 26 years.
Wow.
And he did Bosnia. He was Iraqi Freedom. He was even in Korea during a little shaky moment over there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went like 5 years later. but he's seen enough. In Iraq, he was lucky. I felt he was lucky. He only really went out on missions a couple of times. They figured out he's an IT guy. He really is. He's very good at IT, and he had his clearance. So he was on the FOB in an office, you know, doing report writing, because he's grade A report writer, and they had him doing that a lot. So I felt really, I felt good about that, because he wanted to go out. I don't know, crazy, but no, he only had one close call there on the FOB, actually, where I guess he got that tunnel vision thing happen. They heard incoming coming, and he got deer in the headlight, like just was watching this missile coming at him, and one of his friends came out of nowhere and tackled him into a foxhole thing and saved his life, because it hit the laundromat right where he was coming out of. And so that was kind of dramatic. He actually broke his friend who saved him, broke his ankle, because they landed on each other when they dove into the thing. But they both survived. So.
Yeah. It's when I think back of all the stories in my, like, if I was going to write a book of interesting stories that have happened in my life, I can't believe how many of them happened in that little section that I was in the military, right? Yeah. There's just there's so many experiences to be had during that time. But and I can tell you what, in the first 2 years of being in the Army, I came back on leave after 2 years, and I went up to a university where most of my buddies that I was best friends with in high school, kind of our friends group, they were all going to school there. And I realized the first day I was back that in 2 years of the military, I had learned more responsibility in 2 years than they're going to learn in 8 years at that college. And that's not a knock on anybody. It's just, it is a fast course in growing up at 18 years old when you join the military. It is crazy. But I've been putting the link in chat. If anybody else wants to pop in, you're sure welcome to. I wasn't sure what direction I do with the show. Normally I have one of the other hosts from Untold on, and I told Doug last week I'm probably going to start having some hosts from other shows on. And when I was thinking about Memorial Day weekend, I thought, you know, this is probably a great time. And it's not something that I do on Untold much, but to put the link out and just tell people, come on, let's hear about who you're remembering today. So,
yeah,
if anybody wants to take advantage of that, I'll put it up again one more time here. So, but got any? You doing any cooking today? You guys grilling out, or I suppose
I was gonna grill out, but I decided I'm not. We got rid of all of our outdoor furniture, because I want to get new stuff, and the other stuff was just bad, and we got rid of it. So now there's no seats out there except for my camping chairs, and I hate it. So I'm just gonna make chicken and rice today, and my daughter's got some friends coming over and got a bunch of hot dogs and stuff. So it's not gonna be
I like how Nikki says, I'm just gonna make chicken and rice today. Me and Jay would probably get on a plane right now to fly your house to have your chicken and rice. So
arroz con pollo. It's gonna be the Puerto Rican style arroz con pollo. It's a little more.
I'm making a pot roast. Sometimes I just sometimes I just get hungry for a pot roast. So,
man, yeah. There's times where I just like throwing potatoes and a roast into the crock pot and not have to worry about it. Just get it seasoned right and put some onions and.
That's what I got. I forgot everything. I forgot to pick me up some celery, but I did have some celery salt. So
there you go.
Yeah.
We did the typical Memorial Day weekend thing yesterday. We sat out on the back deck, had a few beers, and played some cards and fired up the grill and made burgers and brats. And
yeah,
it was kind of that traditional.
Right.
Up here, you got to, if you're going to grill burgers, you got to grill brats too. You know, it's probably not a nationwide thing, but you know, if you're in Minnesota, Wisconsin, something like that. But you're right about the lawn furniture. I'll tell you what, because right now up here, the mosquitoes won't be out for another 10, 14 days yet here. So we don't have mosquitoes. It's still a little cool in the evenings, but it's getting up to 80-something during the day. And every night you can leave your windows open. There's no humidity. It's you can hear the tree frogs outside. It's just this is the time of year to be sitting on the deck at 8, 9 o'clock at night out in some nice patio furniture and it don't work if it's
I miss the old stuff, but you know it I'm glad it's gone, but we just haven't had, you know, the extra to go get some good stuff.
Yeah,
but I keep telling my husband, who's waiting to get this particular thing he wants, and I'm like, you're gonna spend all that money and then in a couple years we're gonna end up getting new one anyway. Just let's get stuff out there. Because when you're in the Southwest, you deal with extreme heat, okay?
Yeah.
So everything, I don't care what you get, you're replacing it in 3 to 5 years.
Sure.
Because it doesn't matter. It does not matter what you get. And he doesn't understand that. He doesn't. He's from a humid place where stuff stays a little bit longer and maybe metal rusts faster, but...
Yeah.
But... stuff just doesn't last in the heat. And no, we're going to wait and save up and get this. And okay. So we don't have anything.
Goes to Arizona to look for vintage cars because they don't rust, but they sure don't go there looking for secondhand patio furniture.
No. It gets really bad and faded out. You know, the heat just eats up fabrics, eats up the wood. So,
yeah. So I see Danny says, RIP Tina Turner. She must have passed away.
Yeah, a couple days ago.
A couple days.
Think I do remember hearing that now. Boy, you know, we watched a movie last night, me and the boys. It'd been one that we were going to go see when it first came out. But when you don't catch it the first week or two in the theater, then you tell yourself, oh, I'll just wait until I can get it on Prime or whatever, right?
Right.
And so we broke down and we watched John Wick 4 last night.
Oh, did you? Where was it on?
It's, you can buy it. You can't rent it yet.
Oh, okay.
And I was going to wait till you can rent it. And then I seen that they're going to release it onto Disney Plus.
Oh, cool.
Which seemed like a weird platform. Not Netflix, not Amazon Prime, not Disney Plus. And I thought, I don't think I'd probably rent it there when it comes out. So I'm going to, we bought it for $19.99 because I figured if me and my two boys went to the theater to see it, we'd pay way more than that. So, but after I watched it, I remembered hearing a lot of different things about Keanu Reeves. And so last night I did some research on him. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, you talk about a guy who today on Memorial Day must be a big day for him. It is crazy what he has went through in his life. And just to share this, maybe there's probably a lot of people listening or in chat that know this, but he grew up in Lebanon. Well, I shouldn't say grew up. He was born in Lebanon. And his mom was, I believe, Italian, but his, or maybe she was English, but his dad was Lebanese, and his dad left when he was little, when he was a toddler, just ran off. Mm-hmm. And his mom moved them to Australia and then to New York City and then to Canada. And that's where he grew up, in Canada. And he started playing hockey when he was young, and he got started getting really good at it in high school. And he thought, I'm going to do this. I want to be a professional hockey player. And he had an accident, a pretty bad accident on the ice, to where he couldn't play anymore. And he eventually went on, met a woman. They got married. Their first child, his daughter, died at birth. And eventually, later on, his wife was killed in an accident. And as he got an opportunity to be an actor, he lives a pretty frugal life. I mean, people hear the things like he owns a motorcycle company and he plays in a band, you know. But he has a really modest apartment. I saw pictures of his apartment that he's posted. And this is just like your normal apartment people would have. I mean, it's like a two-bedroom, two-bath, or one-bath normal apartment. And there's all these stories from these paparazzis who follow him around that say about every other day they find him. He'll ride his motorcycle downtown, park it, and go for a walk, and they'll find him just hanging out with homeless people, mm-hmm. listening to their stories. On his birthday a couple years ago, he went to a bakery, went in and bought one cupcake with a single candle, went out front, stood out front of the bakery himself and ate it, and bought anybody who walked in, bought him their coffee that day. Evidently, all the money that he made, out of all the money that he made off of the, was it the Matrix series? He has donated 75% of that money that he made off of that entire movie series to charity. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy is just really bucking the system for Hollywood. This is a truly good guy.
Yeah. But, he's also given up large portions of his pay on these larger movies to have to pay other actors
more money. They said he was on the set of, I don't know if it was John Wick 2 or 3, but he was on the set and he was standing in wardrobe and he heard two people who were assistants talking, and the one guy was saying, he was like in tears, saying that he had just gotten the notice that day before in the mail that their foreclosure is going to be going through and that he's going to lose his house because he owed $28,000 on it. Uh-huh. And by the end of the day, John Wick had put $30,000 in that guy's bank account so that he wouldn't lose his house. I mean, just that's just the kind of person he is.
Right.
Or not John Wick, Keanu Reeves had put.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I thought it was really interesting, but especially that he had lost his daughter. She died at birth. And then shortly afterwards, his wife died in an accident. And he didn't race out to get remarried or like you would probably normally see in Hollywood. He just kind of withdrew from everything.
He's had tons of loss. Not only that, is that his best friend was River Phoenix.
Yeah.
And River also died, you know, outside
from
that.
From an overdose.
Yeah.
Yeah, he... So I just, you know, you think about stuff like that. A lot of us look at it and say, man, I look at my stack of bills on the counter and say, man, if only I was rich, if only I had that kind of money. I think he's a testimony that money doesn't make pain go away. People make adjustments to their life based on their life experiences. And he's obviously one that has done that. But yeah, no, that was it. Just I don't want to be a spoiler, but it was an interesting movie. definitely was an interesting movie. It's so weird because the first John Wick felt like this guy could live down the street from me, right? Like, yeah. Like he's driving his classic Mustang to the gas station and somebody ends up killing his dog that night and he gets roped out of retirement. Like, this felt like this could happen. Now you watch John Wick and he's traveling the whole world trying to kill it, and it's like, this isn't the same as it used to be. The whole thing's changed now, but
yeah.
I always enjoyed watching the YouTube videos that were put out of him on the firing ranges because he does all his own stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And he is an amazing marksman. I mean, he walks through those courses just boom, 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 shoots 10 targets down in 10 shots in 2.2 seconds. You know, it's like
the one with him and Halle Berry doing it is awesome.
Yep. Yep. And she's really good too.
Yeah. They work hard on those movies.
But yeah, it's a kind of a neat testimony that he doesn't, he does all his own stuff. And
he has his own motorcycle company as well.
Yeah. He has his own motorcycle company. He's got his own, he's got a band that he occasionally gets back together and plays in. I'm trying to remember what it is, Rumble Dog or something dog that he plays.
Yeah, something like that.
But yeah, no, interesting person. But how about, so Jay, you were, for those who don't know, Jay is was living, where were you living in Florida, Jay?
I was in Sebring.
Okay.
Kentucky, Tennessee, Indiana, Kentucky, Fort Myers, Sebring, and now I'm in Umatilla.
So you moved. How far away is that? About an hour and a half, 2 hours from
Sebring? It's 109 miles farther north in Florida.
Yeah. Yeah. And you just got moved in here in the last week or two.
I've been here two. Yeah, me and Janet have been together 2 weeks now. She has to, her mother is 98 years old, and there's still three siblings, and her mother still lives alone. Well, the three siblings take turns going over there and spending the night, make sure everything's okay. And Janet, before we met, she was doing it all. But since we've met, she's just doing it on weekends. So she's on Friday, on Saturdays, Sundays, and Mondays is her time to be with her mother. So I'm alone for those 3 days. Hmm. So
would, I mean, Jay and Nikki and Joe, who's been on the stream this morning, I'm actually friends with them. Joe and Nikki have their own channels. We see each other in each other's chats. We're on each other's shows. Just for those who are listening on podcasts or maybe aren't familiar with the backstory there, but we've been friends with Jay for a couple of years and kind of followed along with, you know, his retirement, and kind of we all got jealous about how he was hanging out around the pool. And but then you had an injury that you had, took a few months to heal up from and have some surgery. But if you don't mind me kind of letting people know a little bit about your story, you had been married quite a while, your wife passed away.
Yeah.
And you'd been single now for a while. And I know through our discussions that that hasn't been easy.
Not at all.
That's been tough. You missed her, you missed her incredibly.
Terribly.
And, you know, at your age, I think that there are a lot of people who could get some inspiration from this, because you look at it and say, man, I'm trying to honor her and I loved her and miss her, but yet I'm lonely and I don't think she'd want me feeling this way. And, but yet at that age, where do you, I mean, how do you meet other people? And you ended up meeting a beautiful woman on Facebook and started out just going out for dinner or going out for a coffee, and it led to a second date and a third. And to cut to the end of the scene, you are now engaged and moved, and you guys are having the time of your lives, like you're in high school again. So
I was, just to go over my life, I got married, my first wife, we stayed married for 4 years, and then I was single for almost 40 years before I met my late wife. That we were married for 15 years and she passed away, so I've been single going on 6 years again. And I had no intention of ever getting remarried again.
You actually had told us on a stream. I'm going to be single till the day I die. I'm not looking for anything. And 2 weeks later, it's like, I met a woman.
And we, me and Janet had talked on Facebook for she lost her husband 3 years ago. And about 2 years ago, we just general talk, hi, how are you, and how's things going and stuff like that. And then 2 weeks ago, she asked me to marry her. I said, pardon me? So I said, well, sure I will. I'll marry you. You're a wonderful woman. And she's bought a new house, and she bought a new house, and I'm in it right now, and we're going to have the time of our life. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I put it this way, I think I'd said it on a couple of shows that we've been on. I didn't think I'd ever, I wasn't so much lonely, but I was lonely for being in love. When you're in love with somebody, as deeply as I was with my late wife, I missed that terribly. God, I couldn't believe how much I missed that woman. And I just wanted to feel that one more time. I think I've told Liv, I wanted that feeling in my life one more time. I don't want to die without that feeling one more time, to be in love one more time in my life, you know?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, love takes on a little bit different face as we get older and mature a little bit. We start realizing maybe some of the things we could appreciate now that was harder to appreciate when we were younger. And, you know, I mean, I can remember when I was younger, if you would have came up to me at 25 years old and said, what does love mean? Whatever I would have said, I'd probably be laughing now, because we learn so much as we grow older. And I think that's one of the things that you start to miss. I talk about how tomorrow will be mine and Joni's 25th anniversary. And we had spent some time apart. We spent a year where we actually got divorced. And during that time, I had rented a loft downtown. It was a really nice place. Had a huge bar that I had set up in it. And every night of the week was like Saturday night. And where this loft was in a historic, beautiful building that was within two blocks of eight different bars downtown. I mean, I just thought, hey, you might as well live it up, right? And I can't tell you, night after night, sitting there alone at 3 a.m, when everybody's gone home, feeling like this isn't home, man. This is not home. And I couldn't do it. I miss sitting on the deck. arguing about how we're going to pay for a bill. I mean, it was like all these things that I looked at before and just thought, man, this isn't what love's supposed to look like. Then I start realizing love's got a lot of different phases, man.
I want to say something. I did something yesterday. I probably could have got my head bashed in, but I went to a restaurant yesterday. They got just opened a brand new Kentucky Fried Chicken. This is a very small town. I mean, it's probably maximum 2,000 people. And they just opened a new Kentucky Fried Chicken franchise. And I went into the place and I made my order and I turned around and you had to wait for them to fry the chicken up and to get my potatoes and my beans ready. So I was standing there at the counter and I turned around just to scan the people who was in there. And there was this couple and I was looking out the window, but I kept noticing he was on his cell phone and she was just sitting there and I wasn't staring at them, but I just noticed that they wasn't talking. They wasn't talking at all. It was not a word came out of their mouth to each other. So I got my food and they were sitting right there next to the door you walk out of. And when I opened that door to go out, I said, you might want to put that phone down and talk to your woman because you're going to miss her really bad one of these days. Mm-hmm. I just walked out the door, you know.
Hey guys, real quick here. Look, I've been hacked on my Facebook. So if you guys get any freaking messages in Messenger asking you to send a code or asking for money or whatever by somebody named, well, it would be me he's using now.
Yeah.
The hacker used a friend of mine, Bob Mason, apparently got hacked, and this hacker used that. So if you get any messages from me asking for money or anything like that, it is not me.
Also, if you're Joe's friend on Facebook, you should go change your password.
Yeah, Bob Mason needs to. I don't know if Bob watches these things or not, but he needs to change his stuff.
Okay.
Because I got hacked. I'm trying to recover all that shit. That's why I was gone for so long. I'm trying to recover my Facebook page and all that.
All right.
So, yeah.
You didn't ask me to help you with that?
Did you get one?
Yeah, I got one.
No, that was not me. That was not me, Nikki.
Now I gotta check and make sure I don't have any messages.
Now it's gonna even take you longer to buy that furniture, Nikki.
Tell them you've recovered your account.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well.
Yeah, I've recovered the Facebook account, but.
Okay.
Yeah, that shit was not me.
All right. Well, appreciate Joe giving us the update. Anyways, we're probably going to be landing this plane. Jay, I appreciate you guys, Joe and Nikki and Jay, popping on and sharing what you did. I know that it's probably a pretty surreal day to think about the people that have been in your life, Jay, especially.
Yes, it has. Yeah, yeah.
Want to let you know I'm thinking about you and appreciate your friendship, my brother.
Same here, Jeff. Mean a lot to me, brother.
All right. Well, you take it easy, Jay.
All right. I'm out of here.
Yeah. So yeah, I appreciate everybody joining us and being a part of the show. Tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Pine Island Research, we are going to have my friend Carlos Jimenez come on. Going to be interesting conversation. Carlos is a physical anthropologist. He's got a three-part documentary series coming out. We'll talk a little bit about that and what he's got going on. But yeah, we'll talk a little Sasquatch, talk a little everything. I love our conversations with Carlos because he's one of those guys that you can truly say is an expert in his field. Starting when he was younger, he was a, once he had gotten his degree, he was the teacher assistant to Kranz for a few years. And he went on to accomplish a lot of things. And he's been involved in a lot of things. And he's got some great, great stories to tell us. So if you guys are free tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern time, Pine Island Research, we will see you there for that. Otherwise, have a beautiful rest of your Memorial Day weekend. And if you're at home and you're remembering someone, I hope the memories bring you smiles and joy. And if you're hurting today, call somebody. Reach out to somebody. There are people that love and care about you and will want to be able to lift you up. Let them lift you up. So have a great Memorial Day weekend, folks. We'll see you later.